Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. I'm Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Jason Floyd. Together, we're your co-hosts, and we're tackling the legislative giant that fiscal year 2026 NDAA, or National Defense Authorization Act. The NDAA was signed into law on December 18, 2025, and it authorized roughly $900 billion for national security activities. It's thousands of pages of policy and law, and for us acquisition attorneys, it represents a massive pivot into how the Department of War is expected to operate.
So the overarching theme of this year was clear: defense acquisition reform. This was driven by two major legislative engines, the House's SPEED Act and then the Senate's FORGE Act, both of which were aimed at streamlining a system many in Congress feel has become too slow and rigid.
All right, let's dive right in then. So Section 1802 is going to be a game changer, in my opinion, for PEOs. It established the role of the Portfolio Acquisition Executive, or PAE. This moves us away from program-by-program oversight model toward managing broader, quote-unquote, capability portfolios. What do you think, Ellie?
I think that's a crucial distinction for our colleagues to understand. PAEs have a much broader mandate than the traditional PEO. They are tasked with engaging end users, conducting market research across their entire portfolio, and they actually have the statutory authority to terminate capabilities that no longer align with requirements or are seeing massive cost overruns.
And to support that lifecycle focus, Section 1803 establishes what are called Product Support Managers, or PSMs. These PSMs are co-equal with program managers and report directly to PAEs. Their job is to ensure that sustainment and readiness planning happen early rather than being an afterthought.
I think it's all about speed and readiness. So speaking of objectives, Section 1801 actually redefines the mission of the entire defense acquisition system. One of the most significant changes for our day-to-day work is the new statutory definition of best value, a term we use often.
Oh, yeah.
It's now defined as the optimal combination of cost, quality, technical capability, or solution quality and delivery schedule.
That seems like a pretty clear signal that Congress wants us to move away from that LPTA stuff, as they've been saying for years. So, Ellie, let's talk about the numbers that are going to make up our contractors and hopefully the workforce a lot happier, the thresholds.
Yes. So we're talking about Section 1804. For any contracts entered after June 30th, 2026, the threshold for mandatory submission of certified cost or pricing data, the TINA threshold, is jumping from 2.5 million to 10 million.
I love Tina. Do you love Tina?
We have a love-hate relationship.
You're not a cost person?
Oh. No.
Well, let's talk about 1806 then, since we're on the subject, right? That's the section that talks about cost accounting standards, or CAS. The threshold for full CAS coverage is doubling from about 50 million to 100 million. And the basic applicability threshold for a single contract is rising to 35 million. This should significantly lower barriers to entry for many firms, and it's building upon FY25's NDAA, which was also trying to bring more small business and non-traditional contractors into the mix.
Especially for non-traditional contractors, Section 1826 actually grants exemptions for these non-traditionals from several statutory and DFARS requirements, including certain business systems and FAR Part 31 cost principles.
And to help continue to bring these innovators in, Section 824 also requires new guidance on when the department should accept past performance from commercial or non-governmental projects. We've seen so many innovative companies locked out because they didn't have a military track record, and this section tries to fix that.
Let's look at something more contentious: bid protest. So Section 875 is Congress's attempt to add some teeth to prevent what they see as frivolous protests. While the specific percentages, often debated, are settled in regulation, the statute now allows the department to withhold payments to incumbent contractors during a protest, which can be forfeited if the GAO finds the protest lacked a reasonable legal or factual basis. We talked about GAO's report back in the fall, which I think has led to this section.
What a great episode that was. Oh, man.
Yeah, you should go back and listen to it.
I agree. So switching gears a bit, right? Let's talk technical data, one of my other favorite topics. So instead of a full right to repair that a lot of folks were asking for, Section 805 of this year's NDAA requires the department to build a digital system to track major weapon systems and major defense acquisition programs' technical data. This system will identify what data we have versus what we needed for the sustainment and then creates a process to negotiate with contractors to fill those gaps.
That's a subject near and dear to your heart.
That's right.
Jason's our right to repair expert.
I try to be.
He doesn't want to admit it.
That's true. I don't like to call attention to myself.
So it's a very practical middle ground. So moving on, I really do like the push for commerciality in this bill. Section 1822 directs us to prioritize commercial products and services to the maximum extent practicable.
Not only do we have to do that for our primes, but Section 1824 prohibits the department from requiring flow-down clauses in commercial subcontracts unless they're absolutely required by statute.
We also have a brand new authority in Section 1825 for consumption-based solutions. This allows us to buy integrated capabilities, hardware, software, and labor, that are metered and billed based on actual usage, much like a utility or a subscription.
Speaking of labor, we also have provisions that discuss Buy American and supply chain restrictions, which are getting much tighter. Section 844 adds materials like gallium and germanium to the list of strategic materials that cannot be sourced from covered nations like China or Russia.
So I had to look up what those were. Those two materials and what they're used for.
You don't know what they are?
Do you?
No.
Here, fun facts with Ellie. Both are not found in their natural state, but come from zinc during like a process. I don't know. I didn't understand it. But gallium is used in microchips and LEDs, and it allows them to operate at higher frequencies with greater heat resistance. It's better than silicon. And germanium is used in fiber optic cables and infrared optics. It's also used for space-based solar cells since it's more resistant to cosmic radiation than silicon.
I think the most interesting thing you said was, what, fun facts with Ellie? What is that about?
Fun facts with Ellie.
Okay, moving on.
What?
That's exciting.
Moving on from my fun facts with Ellie section that Jason clearly loved, Section 842 sets a phased ban on advanced batteries from those same countries, starting with new programs in 2028. There's even a strategy required by Section 834 to eliminate all reliance on Chinese optical glass by 2030.
What's optical glass? Did you look that one up?
Optical glass is a highly pure, specialized type of glass engineered for optical systems like camera lenses, telescopes, and prisms. Unlike standard glass, it's formulated with specific chemical additives to achieve exact light refraction, minimal dispersion, and flawless homogeneity, ensuring undistorted light transmission. Even more fun facts with Ellie. What we use it for, I don't know.
Yeah, these provisions together make it clear that Congress is really trying to illuminate the supply chain. Section 833 actually offers an incentive. If a contractor uses these tools to find a non-compliant part and then discloses it, they may actually be eligible for a national security waiver while they fix the issue. That's cool.
So let's talk munitions, Jason.
Boom, boom.
We've all seen the strain on the arsenal of democracy lately. So the fiscal 26 NDAA authorizes over $25 billion to rebuild it, and Section 804 is the heavy hitter here. It grants multi-year procurement authority for a massive list of missiles, Tomahawks, JASSMs, and even new low-cost hypersonic systems.
Now that's speaking my language. Multi-year procurement authority? That's fantastic. That's what everyone's talking about.
It's what everyone wants.
It's what everyone wants, right? It's that steady demand signal. But they're also pushing robotic automation in the munitions factories via Section 225.
And that's to help speed things up safely. So we can't close out with talking about AI and drones. Seems like that's what everyone talks about these days.
And that's all they talk about.
This NDAA really attempts to put a framework around AI for the first time, since 1533 creates a cross-functional team led by the CDAO to develop a standardized assessment framework for AI models.
Along those same lines, Jayada 401 actually got its statutory establishment in Section 912. That task force will manage all counter-drone, counter-UAS efforts, and it has its own acquisition division, the goal of which is to get solutions to the field at the speed of war.
There's also a hardline ban in Section 1532. Within 30 days of enactment, the department must remove any AI developed by certain Chinese companies like DeepSeek or HiFlyer from our systems. That prohibition extends to our contractors as well.
Man, this was a popcorn episode. All of those sections coming at you real hot, real fast.
All over, too.
I loved it. The big takeaway, of course, is going to be implementation. We have to watch how the department writes the actual regulations over the next few years.
And for those of you already looking toward next year, Chairman Rogers has announced that the fiscal year 27 NDA will focus specifically on the defense industrial base. Proposals were due from members in February, so the cycle never really stops.
That's true.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We love to hear from our listeners. Please continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. The information can be found in the show notes from today's episode. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.